CliffCentral.com. Good morning, CliffCentral.com. We're here to look after you as you start your day.
Just catch your breath after that first hour. There was a lot going on there.
There's a lot to talk about. There's so much happening.
People are upset.
All right, well, here's some interesting news. We got Simi Aref popping by.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, 7:30 this morning. We like Simi. He's going to break down the concept of love and everything in between in his much-anticipated new one-man show called Love and Other Jokes.
It reminds me of the good old drum days of Sistoli. You called Sistoli for advice. Yeah.
Oh, you mean an actual, like, in the magazine?
That column, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, we got a hell of a thing on this evening. We got Pure Conversations 2, which is going to be all the ladies. And these are radio ladies who are no longer in radio to talk about broadcasting and to talk about the media business. And I think it's going to be fascinating. We've got my friend Unati Nkai. We've got Kuli Roberts, who's just a powder keg.
Yeah, she's great fun.
Yeah, she's fun. We've got Bonang Matheba, who is the she's the queen bee of the South African hive.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we have?
And we have
Mascha Banjov, who's fantastic. All right, so the four of them are going to be having a little convo today, and you can join in with us a little bit later on. We'll kick it off somewhere around 7:30 this evening.
Everything starts at 7:30, and you can hashtag Pure Conversations to find out more.
Very good. Very, very nice. I hope your Wednesday is going well, and you had a nice rest for your public holiday, and you're ready to take on this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, because this week's going to go by really fast. So Simi's going to join us just now. There's lots of stuff in the news we have to talk about. Where do you want to start, Sia? I'll give you the control, because otherwise if we let Gord and Google take control, might get very, very messy.
Yeah, I might get victim shamed on air.
Oh, shame, Gord. I'll still Gord rub was, your back
Gord
later
was
for that.
Genuinely upset just now.
Because I'm the victim of not a suitable pooing facility. Like, I really have to go through sometimes having to use, out of pure necessity, a sketchy, not properly working, traumatic toilet. Yes. And then I'm like, what were you wearing that the toilet fucking abused you
in
that way?
I'll just put my cup down again as you talk about it.
I hate Gugu. We're not friends anymore. So I was perfectly willing to be like, all right, these oaks are about to out me for my post-show poo. Cool, fair enough. That's horrible, but I've been through enough to know this is the territory on this show. And then Gugu starts victim shaming me because of what I've been through in
There's
that toilet.
No victim shaming, Gord. Don't be a victim, yeah, boy. Own up to it. That shit is
hashtag
real.
Hashtag me too, Gugu. Me poo. Hashtag me poo.
All right, everybody calm down. Let's not go back down the street, all right? We have other things we have to tackle today.
Tell ex-friend Gugu I said I'm fine with that.
All right.
Love you, Gord.
What is happening with Terrence Howard, Sia?
Oh, Terrence Howard is losing the plot properly. So there were the Emmys that took place a couple of days ago, and he was there with his show Empire, and he was walking the red carpet, and that's when he's now just made the announcement that he's quitting acting. But amongst many justifications, he says that he's leaving acting so that he can build the planet Saturn without gravity. I don't know what he's saying.
Do you think he's high?
Build the planet Saturn without gravity. Is that exactly his quote, or does that come with some sort of context? Is that a reference to a project his fans know what it really means and that you got to be in the inner
circle? Let's listen to him and we can decide whether we think he's insane or not.
Yeah, because that's some insane shit.
All right, let's go.
Lucius is in the house. Terrence Howard here. You made huge headlines when you said, after you complete these 15 episodes of Empire, you got to walk away for a while or forever?
For good. I mean, everyone keeps trying to tell me, don't say it's forever. But I've spent 37 years pretending to be people so that people can pretend to watch and enjoy what I'm doing when I've made some discoveries in my own personal life.
By the way, that's the best summary of what an actor does I've ever heard. Yeah. That's very good. Okay, here are his discoveries he's made in his personal life.
My own personal life with the science that, you know, Pythagoras was searching for. I was able to open up the flower of life properly and find the real wave conjugations that we've been looking for 10,000 years. Why would I continue, you know, walking on water for tips when I've got an entire generation to teach a whole new world?
That's a big remark. What do you intend to do?
Well, let me put...
These poor interviewers. You see, these are not smart people. No. They've been hired to be on the red carpet.
This is what happens when you become such an asshole that your asshole swallows the rest of your body and head and turns you almost inside out, except for just eyes and a mouth and a nose sticking out of this asshole that swallowed the rest of you. And
you mean just the interview?
You're just wrapped in the in the inside out anus of yourself, just so that your face can stick out and still talk.
When you're an actor, famous actor, and Terrence Howard has done some really big projects, and he's been paid really well, and people love him, and he's a good looking guy, and he's had a great life, you know, in acting for how many years did he say?
37
years.
I love the way he induces like pseudoscientific shit that you obviously wave forms and wave conjugations and what Pythagoras was searching for. I guarantee you this wanker can't tell you who Pythagoras was, what Pythagoras was into. It's just like, I've got these terms that it's all waves and vibrations, and it's like I've got to imagine my dream goals because then you attract it.
Is it possible he's just taking the piss out of the red carpet interviewers?
It's entirely possible. That's why I'm asking for some context on if this oak is always a loon or if he's taking the piss.
Maybe he's just making fun of this guy and this girl who are standing on the red carpet interviewing stars about bullshit TV shows. So maybe he's just throwing all this stuff together to make it seem unimportant as it is.
Is the oak serious? Is the oak serious is a pretty important thing to establish up front, whether this is a piss take or something worthy of having the piss taken out of it.
Let's see if he says more here.
To do. Well, let me put it this way. All energy in the universe is expressed in motion. All motion is expressed in waves. All waves are curved. So where does the straight lines come from?
Taking the piss. Absolute bullshit.
To make the platonic solids, there are no straight lines. So when I took the flower of life and opened it properly, I found a whole new wave conjugations that expose the in-between spaces. It's the thing that holds us all together.
I really think he's taking the piss because there was almost a little bit of a giggle there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It can only be one or the other, an extreme piss take or an extreme dickhead.
Well,
this is not normal behavior, regardless.
No, that's drugs and delusion and a complete lack of understanding of science.
How dare you?
No.
Don't talk about a lack of science. You know she gets upset when you do that. It's all about her feelings.
Yes.
Don't worry, Greta. Sit
back. Well, I was told that was evidence by somebody of why we are clearly like seeded here by aliens. We're a species that's been planted here by aliens and they're kind of observing us. And literally the reason was when you know something, you know it. When you feel something, you feel it. You can just tell. Look at people. And I was like, we are mammals. We are so much more similar as to all other mammals than we are different. Five fingers, five toes, elbows and knees, eyes that work the same, nostrils in the middle of the face, teeth made of the same thing, hair made of the same thing, everything, we spines. We're so similar to it. We're so much more similar to a mouse than we are different to it.
Exactly.
We have you are very much of planet Earth, but this hippie would not listen because when you know, and when you know that you know, and no one else can tell you differently. And if you once you know, it's obvious once you know. And I'm like, what's obvious is that you don't know anything about mammals with your nipples and your milk and your warm blood and your, you know, all of
your
this.
Your nipples and your milk. We're
so different from all the other creatures on this planet. No, we just developed reasoning. And that's as good as a kangaroo developing jumping. It's just something we developed. And we're the same.
Hey, Rob. Hi, Rob is from Amsterdam and he's on the line. Hey, Rob. What's
up,
man? Yo, what's up, gangsters?
How you, chum?
I'm good, bro. I'm good, dude.
Have you got the demons
crazy
today?
Walls. I got the mad demons, boy. I couldn't even call in on Monday, bro. I had to, re-girth myself into reality over, the next 3 days, bro. I had to pull my mind out of the gutter.
Re-girth, did you just say?
Yeah, I don't know if I made that up.
Yeah, I've never been re-girth. I've been girth, but not re-girth.
Rob, there are a couple of things we need to catch up on, and people are asking for updates. Number one, and this is quite exciting, Ben will be joining you in Amsterdam shortly.
I know, he's arriving on Friday. It's going to be fucking lit.
Take him to Bulldogs and put one of those fat hashies in his mouth the second he arrives. Just don't give the oak a choice. So that by the time he's finished telling you he doesn't want a jewel, he's already high as a kite.
Exactly, bro. No, I've got a special lineup for Ben this weekend. I've put some things in place that can't be undone. So I think it's gonna be a loose one. That's for sure. Well, it depends whatever he wants to do, but for me, it's gonna be getting fucking lit.
But see, if you let Ben do what he wants to do, he'll want to do fuck all. You have to make him do what you want him to do, and then once he's underway, no, he's bro. Gonna get DJ Ben K era nasty.
That's what I want. I'm gonna bring out the costume.
Yeah, no, that's why, dude. You can't let the beast come out on its own. You've got to go fetch it. This is my advice to on dueling with Ben.
All right, so Rob, Ben is going to be hosting the show for a week for me while I'm away in October. So he'll be able to report back from his side too. So I'm looking forward to that. The other thing is, you went to Berlin, and the last time we spoke, you said it was going to be probably the most sordid weekend of your life. How was it?
Partying in Berlin. I just say this. Partying in Berlin makes Amsterdam look like a fucking nunnery, dude. Like school children go there.
There were some nuns in Amsterdam.
Dude, they don't fuck around, dog. Like, okay, well, we went to this bar. First off, we started this bar called Odessa Bar. It's like living in the Twilight Zone because the people that go there are just so fucking weird. But everyone's like, cool, bro. Like, you could basically walk in there naked and do, like, cocaine off the floor and people wouldn't even bat an eye. Like, it wouldn't be odd. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't be weird. And then you party till 6 at this Odessa bar, and it's heaving till 6. There's no, like, lulls and people. There's just heaving till 6. And then at 6 o'clock, people decide to go to a club. That's when they make the decision to go out. I was like, dude, I'm like, half dead here.
And 6 in the morning.
Go to Burkhardt. 6 in the morning, they're like, yo, let's go to Burkhardt. I was like, what the shit? I was like, cool, dog, I'm in, bro.
And did you go?
I just had to fucking, of course, dog, I just had to pump myself full of whatever chemicals I could find off the floor. And I was like, I'm going to Burkham, dog. We get into this, it's like 7 in the morning now. The line's probably about 100 meters.
That's a hell of a line, mate. Did you do it at once or did you take a breath?
I was like, what's happening over here, dog? So we wait in this line, bro. And then, like, you know, we had to stand apart because it's, like, super deep to get in, bro. Then you get to this bouncer. He's, like, face tattoos with barbed wire. He's, like, the fucking man. But it just seems like everyone just knows the guy. Like, no one would go there without knowing someone. So we just coming in here, like, negotiating, bro. And then I get to the bouncer, and I was like, he's like, where are you from? I was like, yo, I'm from South Africa, man. Like, what's up? Like, just trying to play it cool, bro. He's like, okay, cool. He's like, no, next. Like, just fucking pushes me out the line, dog. So then everyone I was with got in. I was like, I have to negotiate some shit here. So I was like, okay, so now I go back to the line. I try to speak to some people. I'm like, look, dog, I didn't get in. Do you know anyone? Can you hook me up, dog? After, like, 20 minutes of negotiating, it's like the sun's now, like, coming up. I was like, cool, bro. I met someone. They got me in. Somehow they, like, smuggled me in, dude. Now it's like 8, 9 o'clock, bro, and we get into this place, and it's fucking heaving, dude.
You're
it's
joking.
Pushing.
At 8, like, 9 in the morning.
Losing it. 9 in the morning, dog. I'm like in this club, but by now, like, I'm fucking losing my mind, dude. It's like 9 o'clock. I'm, like, dying there, dude. There are chicks walking around with their fucking tops off. Like, just chicks just came into the club and just, like, fucking whipped their tops off. I saw a lot of nipple rings. I saw a lot of those dicks out. I saw people having sex.
Always a good time.
On the floor. I saw, like, just people just walking around with, like, a fucking, like, packet of coke, just, like, keying people. I was like, what's happening?
Do you reckon?
Like, why am I here? Dude, I honestly just wanted to get the fuck out of there, dude. I got out of there at 11 with, like, a new meaning of the word hole, dude. Seriously.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I was like, that's fucked up, dog.
Jeez, I suppose you've got to go.
Bro, it's an experience. There's just people walking around. I came out of the bathroom. There's just two O's standing having a chat with their dicks out. I was like, what's up? I was like, what's going on here, dog?
Sounds like a good time to me.
Sounds pretty par for the course for you, hi Rob. I've seen one of your jewels. This doesn't sound unusual. I'm still waiting for the revelation, the piece of news to come out.
All right, so listen, dude, I'm pleased you survived it, but, I mean, this is quite an experience. Yeah. You've got to have it once in your life if you can, right?
You got to start to believe it, bro. It's just one of those places where I call it, like, the Twilight Zone. It's just, like, anything's possible.
Would you say it's the most feral jewel?
Do whatever you want.
Would you say it's the most feral jewel you've been to?
It's 100% the most feral jewel I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's just the shit I saw in there was just crazy, bro. It's like... Have you been to a bar and seen, like, four chicks walking around and hooking up each other with their tops off? Have you seen that? Have you seen that lately?
Sounds like my
Have you seen that in Ramberg? No, you haven't. No, you
haven't. In Ramberg. Well, actually, it was at the Lollipop Lounge, which is in Ramberg. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Well, at least two of them were chicks. And I'm sure they were almost all definitely human.
Wow, dude, it sounds just so debaucherous.
What a life.
No, you can do anything there. Like, you can actually go to the line instead of renting a hotel. You can go to the line and go into the place and just have sex on the floor. And, like, no one will bother you. It's just, like, it's just a casual thing. It's
the floor herpes. Oh,
yeah.
Dude, it's just, like, I don't even know what they do
in
that place.
What does it look like inside? I mean, what's going on?
It's like a warehouse. Yeah. It's like a warehouse. Everything is, like, almost pitch dark. You can just kind of make out, like, the bars, and, like, basically the stages have some lights, but basically it's just like that dark glow, like you just basically get silhouettes until you actually walk right up to the person, then you can, like, make out, your eyes adjust.
But then you're close enough to sense their floor moans.
Exactly, dude, exactly. I mean, I got in there and I lost all my mates, gone. I was like, it's huge, bro. There's secret rooms. It's all dark. There's people on the floor. There's naked people walking around all the way. It's just like, bro, you're bumping into, like, tits, and you're just like, what's up? And there's fucking turn around the corner. There's a dick signing at you. Like, what shit?
You sure it's this, like, wasn't just wild, a dream that you had on half a ecchi that you took instead of your nightly sleeping pill?
No, bro. It's more like a fucking nightmare, dog. But,
well,
yeah,
there it
was
is.
Cool. You have to experience that if you ever want to go to Berkheim. Just, you'll see the craziest shit, and you can probably do the craziest shit as well.
I actually do want to go to Berlin soon.
Well, here it is. Finally, Hi Rob's long-awaited review of the Berghain, which is the world's.
And the music was fucked up. Let me tell you, the music was just fucked up. It was just
good,
like, it wasn't music. It was like it was like deep techno, like almost like a cult vibe. It was like whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, you're just like, whoa, dog. This is intense, dude.
I bet you the beat still went. Just like, whoa, it's been doing for 30 years.
Thank you, Rob. Listen, Rob, it sounds like you got shit to do there. We'll let you go, but we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah,
and let us know as soon as Ben arrives what your plans are.
Yeah, I will send some pictures of the update of the trip.
All right, awesome. All right, very good. There's Hi Rob.
I'm actually super keen to go to Berlin. I've never been. I've been to Munich, but I haven't been to Berlin, and I'm desperately keen to see it, and hopefully to also have one of these feral jewels. But yeah, see, drawing with Hi Rob's an investment, man.
Explain.
It's got a high cost. Like, you have to put there's a deposit and a residual payment at the end that needs to be made. Like,
a balloon payment.
Yeah, you pay this. The bulk of the sadness gets paid at the end. it's hectic. He's just so determined to prove a point. And I wondered to myself, like, can this be how he is all the time? Really?
It seems like he is.
Yeah. No, but it was good fun. It's just the consequences the next day are dire. But I've always been dying to go to Berlin. It sounds like a jewel.
All right. There are lots of people who want to talk to us and send us messages and all the rest. So let's start with this. Hi, Rob.
There we go.
Did you see a human centipede in this? A question. That's an interesting question. That's from Craig. So, a human centipede, where there's a whole bunch of people just in a row with their dicks in
no, anus, it's not. It's anuses to mouths. And then in the movie, they stitch them together. So, in the horror movie, the human centipede, this dude finds a bunch of people who are blood type compatible, and he kidnaps them, and he cuts open their cheeks into flaps so that he can sew their mouth closed over the other one's naught. And they... literally, I think there's three of them in the first movie, and they do one of like five people. And you don't want to be the middle oak in a human centipede. And they're sewn. And that's what a human centipede is. But people, you can do it like without the sewing and stuff. You can do like a lighthearted, fun centipede as part of your sex play if you're from Berlin, I suppose. But a real human centipede, people are literally sewn together. At the naught and the mouth.
There are certain things mentioned on this morning's show that I'd just,
it's a very famous horror movie. It's gross as hell, but that's what that refers to.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, and then the sequel, they made it like a longer, more grotesque human centipede.
Oh, man. All right. What did you do this weekend, by the way?
Me?
Yeah, did you do anything fun?
Yeah, I Comic-Con'd a lot. Bootfighter had a really big stand there.
That's what I wanted to ask you about.
And I was there for big chunks of Saturday and Sunday because I wasn't able to make...
So could people come and play the game?
Yeah, man. We have like arcade machines. We fully up and running. In fact, today we're announcing the official release date of the game, which will be next week, Tuesday, the 32nd of September.
Oh, I saw your activation. It looked really impressive.
Yeah,
I
was super proud
of
it.
Snap from
seeing our game and hearing it.
You didn't hear what date the official release.
Yeah, I'm waiting for someone to get, take
week.
The bait.
Jeez,
the 32nd of September. Yeah, we vowed that
sorry,
we would
okay,
release.
Goodbye.
We made a vow that we would release the game in September. At all costs, we would get it done in September. And now it turns out that for a number of reasons, the soonest we can release it is the 1st of October. So we've just redubbed that the 32nd of September. So next week, Tuesday, the 32nd of September, Bootfighter becomes available on Steam, which for those who don't know is a PC gaming
it's
platform that gamers are fully into. So you can go now on Steam and wishlist it now. You can buy it on Tuesday next week. And I was at Comic-Conning all weekend. It was actually really good fun. This Comic-Con was better than the last one. Better venue, not as hot, still terrible queues for food, but mostly it was pretty well organized and there was lots of cool stuff there and we got loads of good reaction for Bootfighter, so I'm excited, really excited.
That's terrific. I know a lot of people are excited about Bootfighter.
Because it's a real thing and what most people don't realize about it as well is it's not just a once-off joke. It's not like, okay, you know, you're in a bar and you're a boot and you're fighting some other boots and there's a few jokes cracked here and there and then you get to the end of the bar
levels,
and it's over. Yeah. Five levels, we go through William Nicol Drive, we go to rugby matches, we go to an inland water-themed annual rave pilgrimage, we hit the gym. I don't want to give too much of it away. There's little mini games. It's like a little movie that you play and it's got a really cool story and an unlikely twist and I'm just really proud of the fact that we did this thing and it's going to be out and it's going to work. You know, the response we've had with social media, with our videos going viral and all of that, it's been great and we couldn't have hoped for it to go better. But where the rubber meets the road is where the people that like to share 2-minute long humorous trailers are also people who like to buy games. So we'll be out on PC in a week and we will be out on mobile platforms probably 2 or 3 weeks after that.
Hello, la.
Well, Gord, there's a big fan of Bootfighter on the line. Do you want to talk to her?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
My message is that we...
Goodbye.
How dare you? How dare you? Isolate these boots, as you call them.
This is all wrong.
Yeah, all right.
I'm sorry, Greta. We were just trying to make a game that pokes lighthearted fun at South Africa. You know, we didn't mean to harm anybody.
Fun? What is fun? When everything is dying and we're all ruined?
Every time you laugh, your carbon footprint increases because of the additional carbon dioxide and a little bit of methane.
Must not laugh.
You must breathe slowly and reservedly to use less of the Earth's air resources.
Yeah,
her ears must be burning.
Laughing
right
as
now.
Well as crying are both wasteful in terms of the carbon.
All right, are you ready for some gross things around the office?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've already talked about my morning exit ritual. So.
Can we not mention bowel movements anymore?
All right, just a few things you need to look out for at the office. I'm going to give you extra reasons to be paranoid today. So the first one is your coffee mug. Apparently a study from the University of Arizona in 1997 and continues to make headlines today, that research. They tested coffee cups in an office setting and found that coliform bacteria found in fecal matter was present in 20% of coffee cups.
Delightful.
What's worse, after being wiped down with either a dishcloth or a sponge, every single cup tested positive for coliform bacteria. Number two, your desk.
How's our desk bad?
Yes. Listen to this. It may come as an unwelcome surprise to learn that your desk is one of the most germ-infested places in your entire office. In fact, the average desk harbors up to 10 million bacteria.
I need to stop. Ugh.
Your phone.
10 yes. million different kinds of bacteria or 10 million individual bacteria?
Individual.
Because that's a low number of bacteria. That's literally like a very small number of bacteria. Individual species.
Do you know how gross your chair is?
My chair is even grosser. Take the average person's chair and triple the median grossness average. And
why is your chair extra gross?
Oh, because I'm a humid person.
more visuals I didn't need.
The chair.
Yeah, one day you're going to find out how comfy I am to sleep next to, and all of the costs that you have to pay for that will seem very reasonable.
The chair that you sit in all day is as germ-infested as your phone, if not more so. In a 2012 study published by the journal PLOS-1, researchers swabbed offices all over the country and found that chairs were generally more contaminated with germs than phones, computer mice, computer keyboards, and desktops.
Yeah, but the thing is, we need these germs. Without them, you don't build up an immune system. You need, like, a standard...
God, I'm trying to make people paranoid.
Okay, you need to interchange bacteria with other people to stay healthy. That's how you get a healthy gut microbiome. Yeah. That's how you get a healthy immune system. Yes, every now and again, you're going to randomly get one of those nasty bacteria that makes you sick and whatever. You can't really avoid it unless you completely isolate yourself from other people. And even then, they can be passed on by animals in some cases. So obviously, you need to wash your hands. I'll go crazy if I don't, just because of how it feels to have dirty hands. But you've got to wash your hands. You've got to obviously do the basics of hygiene and stuff. But to isolate yourself too much from germs is actually really bad for you.
Well, here are some other places that are quite gross. Your keyboard, your mouse.
Anything you touch with your fingers.
The elevator button.
Because you touch once you become aware of it, how much you're constantly touching your face, whether it's your nose, your mouth, rubbing your lip absentmindedly while you're in traffic. You know, I scratch the tip of my nose with my finger almost kind of habitually, and you're constantly touching areas of your head where fluid comes out, be it your ears, your eyes, your nose, your mouth. So that's why touching stuff, you pass germs on mostly through shared touch. So you'll wipe your mouth absentmindedly, then open a door. And then in the few seconds, I don't know the number of this, but it's somewhere between a few seconds and maybe a couple of minutes that the bacteria can survive on a surface exposed to air before they all die and everything dries up. Someone very shortly after you opens the same door with the same door handle, and you then in the next minute or so absentmindedly touch your mouth. Now you've got their cold. But it's the ongoing process of that that helps us build immune systems. And microbiota.
Well, the lift button is another one to look out for. I'm going to give all the OCD people a whole bunch of things
anything,
to clean.
The more people's hands touch a thing, the more manky it's going to be in terms of that.
Your pens.
Those go in your mouth.
The photocopier.
Also, people are just, it's just a little whore that's getting felt up all day.
The coffee pot handle.
Makes sense.
The break room faucet or tap, as we would call it.
Do you have like a drinking fountain in a break room normally?
No, I think people probably mean the one in the bathroom.
Okay.
The microwave handle, if you use an office microwave.
Makes perfect sense.
Office microwaves are gross.
Oh, and microwave buttons underneath them and around the edges of them get like grime and stiffness that you can't see.
Headphones.
I can fully appreciate that as well.
And then, of course, your phone is probably the grossest thing of all.
Mine. It's gross on the inside and the outside.
Everyone's phone, because you're touching that the whole time.
Yeah, you could just say there's a correlatory relationship between how much and how many different people touch something and how stiff it's going to be.
Well, you know who we like to have in here every now and then, not to advise us on how to clean our office or anything, but to talk about in particular his one-man show, which is coming up soon, is Simi Aref. How are you, dude? Nice to see you.
Thanks, Gareth. It's always lovely to meet you. This once a year when you call me in, it's like the Eid I always want.
Very good.
You
know?
And now I'm so happy that I get to meet God. Finally, I can see the voice and the body that matches said voice.
You preferred it when it was just the voice.
Yeah, it was way better. It was way better. I just want to say congratulations on your game, bro. I played it this weekend at Comic-Con. It was really, really dope.
Oh, dude, I really appreciate that.
It was really, really cool.
It was interesting for me to see, like, I didn't go to Comic-Con, but I saw some of the coverage of it. Like, the kind of people who go to Comic-Con, some of these people are like news journalists that I knew who've got their own comics and shit.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. The guy in 702.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has one.
Gushel Brooks.
Gushel Brooks, yeah. And so he has one. It's very cool. It's nice to see, like, can I tell you what the thing that weirded me out the most about Comic-Con? The amount of Muslim people there.
Did you not see a human centipede?
No, I did not. But when you've seen someone wearing traditional Muslim garb all the time and then come dressed as a Star Wars character, like, oh, okay, they're closely related.
But yeah, I saw a lot of that.
For very traditional and conservative Muslim women, a lot of these costumes offer both religious satisfaction in
and
terms
cultural
of...
And
pop culture type of things, bro.
So
and
that's quite cool.
I always said that our cultural garb was you could choose whatever house you wanted to be in Harry Potter, and you were right there, you know? So when I saw all these young Muslim women buying wands, I was like, okay, dog.
Essentially, Spider-Man is in a burqa. I mean, really, if you think about it.
Well, yeah, so is Harry Potter.
It's a bit of a tight-fitting and revealing burqa.
Yeah, it's a bit revealing, but, you know, if he wore a cloak as well, like a Batman cloak.
I was shocked to see my community there. And they were in their numbers, and I was like, why are you not buying tickets to my show? That's really why I went there.
Hey, you're coming to Comic-Con. Why don't you support your brother?
You know, true story.
So you're apparently taking love apart in this show.
You know, Gareth,
Why did your voice drop
shit.
There?
Yeah,
because whenever someone mentions that L word like that, it's just like, I am a broken person. I am not. It's not okay. For the last year, I've been trying to sort out my love life. You know, someone left me. I was with him for like 5 years, right? Yeah.
No, but I remember this wasn't a very salubrious situation.
Yeah, it wasn't. It like, wasn't. But let me tell you now, your boy's game has jumped up. I don't know what happens when...
What happened?
You know, when one door closes, sometimes... I know you don't believe in God, but sometimes that guy has four other doors in the same room who are wide open.
So, what happened?
I put a lot of doors.
To the girl or what's happening now?
No, tell me first what happened with her.
Okay, well, you know...
He's taking his glasses off.
He literally just comfortable, did a move that is like, let me get comfortable.
It's a big Bali move, that one. You know?
I'm surprised the shoes haven't come off.
They have. Right. So, I did have this girl for a very long time, right? And then your boy suffers from not being committed enough. And I was going through things and I was like, oh man, I don't want to be in this relationship. Then I bounced out of the relationship. And after like a month, I realized, okay, no, I really miss this person. Of course, I'm not adding any emotion to the story. Then I go back to the said person. And I said, hey, I want to be back with you. And she's like, I've got a new guy. And I was like, okay, you can drop this guy because, I mean, we've got 5 years and this guy's got what? 27 days. It's a very short month this February. And he's like, and she's like, oh no, I can't do that. And then I find her through the grapevine from, oh, my best friend Dean, who listens to the show all the time. Shout out Dean Schroeder. And he's like, yo, this person getting married on Saturday in November. And I was like, what? And then we found out that the baby came in March. And then all of us were mathematicians. And then we start going backwards and we start going, hey, babies don't take 5 months to come out. They take 9 months.
So she'd been cheating on you.
Oh, we don't know if she's cheating. I'm just like, well,
maybe it's your kid.
No, it's not mine. It's not, definitely not my kid. You have to have a working penis to have a child.
Your penis is not working?
It hasn't been working for a while, guys. That's what depression does.
Really? You can't get it up?
No, for a while I couldn't get it up after this, but I mean, like,
so that's very honest. That's a very honest thing to talk about.
My penis or my relationship?
Penis in particular. Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys don't admit that, but yeah, it's depression.
Bro, depression affects your penis. When I was taking my, I'm getting emotional.
Now he's starting to act out.
When I was taking my antidepressants for a good 6 months. Easily, and I remember sitting in the car with my mates one day, and then my erection popped up from nowhere. And then I was just like,
"Not a great place."
Yeah, and I was like, "Guys, I think I like all of you guys a lot right now, but I'm not gonna lie. Can you take me back to my Airbnb? This boy needs to bust a nut now."
How many months had it been before you'd had a satisfactory erection?
Easily 6-7 months.
What antidepressant was it, if I may
Cipramil.
Ask? Was it Cipramil? About to say, is it Cipramil? Because I know two different people that Cipramil's had that effect on. Yeah. I went on it when I was a lot younger. This happened to me after like 3 days of taking it. 2 days later, still nothing was going on. Incidentally, it happened to me on my 21st birthday. My lovely girlfriend at the time, I woke up and she was like, happy birthday. And I was like, nothing was going on. After 2 days of that, I was so freaked out by it that I went and said to my mom, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. She's like, oh, didn't they put you on Cipramil like a few days ago? The same thing happened to your dad and to one other person we know. Just stop taking it and after a couple of days, you'll be back to normal. Yeah, there's a one in 10 chance that this medication might stop your cock from working. If that happens, just stop taking it, and after a day or two, it'll be back to normal. No, they don't tell you that. They wait for you to be 21 and 2 days old, and in tears go to your mother and say, I need it.
You've got some problems, Lord.
The doctor.
That is some, like...
So yeah, it's a thing. Cipramil does that.
Yeah, so for like 6-7 months, but it's better now, and let me tell you, wow, so there are some wonderful women.
Many doors have opened, so you're on a bit of a mad tear at the moment. Right?
I'm making up for lost time.
You know, I was telling people, I think I'm a player now.
Yeah.
And I'm not and I'm too nice to be that type of person. Like, I struggle to ask a girl, like,
own it.
Like, can I hold your hand? So, like, you know when everybody was being outed during the femicide marches and, yeah, all the Me Too things, but, like, recently in South Africa, like, all those fake Twitter accounts had started and they were naming, like, comedians and actors and stuff. And then, I wasn't scared.
No.
I was not scared at all because I was like, the worst that's going to happen to me is some girl's going to post, oh, you guys know I was walking with Simi after we watched a movie and then he said, hey, can I hold your hand? And I said, no. And I was like, yeah, I'm safe. I was not worried. I was worried for other comedians. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you got outed. That's your problem. But I'm safe. I'm having a good time. And all of the girls have one thing in common, curly hair.
Really?
Well, if there's one thing we've learned from modern day philosopher Snoop Dogg, it's that if you have to ask whether you're a player, then you're no player. But you know, yes, I'm not an expert on playering, but well, if you're not sure if you're a player,
I'm telling
not.
You, bro. People are speaking to me and flirting with me.
Are you starting to get a bad reputation?
I'm only getting a good reputation.
Girls meet you and they're like, oh, I've heard about you.
No, none of that. In fact, I started a broadcast WhatsApp list for all of my friends that are women. So every single day I send the same message out like, hey, are you okay? Are you safe? Do you need any errands done or any admin?
So now you've just exposed the fact that every one of those messages you send out every
No, but they know it's a broadcast list because I can't type that message out to the 30 different women that are like in my life. Not like women as in like I'm dating them. Like some of them are just my friends and stuff.
Do you have broadcast lists?
No, but I'm busy. Check if they're safe.
I'm literally
stuff.
Sitting. I'm trying to work out the potential pros and cons of this. I'm like, it's a strange system, but yet it sounds strangely efficient.
It is, but I've told them, I'm like, yo, you guys are all on a broadcast, and you'll be amazed how many responses you actually get from that. Like, hey, Simi, I'm not feeling safe at X place. Can you please help me out to get out of here? They're like, sure, not a problem.
Are some of these girls what being held by human traffickers or something?
Oh, so it's like, sometimes you safe?
Yeah, like sometimes it's like they add a. They get invited to a party, they go with a couple of friends, but you know, some friends' intentions are different than...
And do you come in like a hero and save them?
No, sometimes it's just like, either like, I'll make sure that if I'm in town, I'll go fetch them and then just take an Uber home.
So it's more of a like, are you okay, are you safe?
Then? Yeah.
Then like a generic copy-pasted, hey girl.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like a flirtation, like, hey, what up, sister?
I thought you just repurposed your daily flirt.
No, it's not like, hey, mamacita, how are you? That would be,
do you sometimes get reciprocal physical attention?
No, not at all. Oh. I'm talking about like some of my...
Okay,
like,
so back to Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear that you're not in any danger of...
I am a player, bro. I'm speaking to two different girls.
Simi, it sounds like you're what the feminists like to call an ally.
An ally. Yes. An intersectional...
The way you said feminist over there, you did not say it with the tone that I think you enjoy them.
It wasn't congratulatory.
So that was not a good statement.
Well, neither is being an ally because it's usually... Really creepy men.
Disingenuous.
That is not me.
And guys,
you seem ingenuous as hell.
No, you seem like a caring guy. I mean, I'm not gonna take that away. But
thank you.
There's this thing that they do in like feminist theory where they refer to men who are subordinate to the rules of feminism, and who
kowtowed
play
to the
role of being a friend. A friend.
And then they make a move.
No benefits.
Yeah, and apologetic on behalf of all men.
Oh,
yeah.
You've come to the right guy.
And then those guys, are the ones who actually, because they, I mean, you don't have any
right. They're trying to get laid, basically.
You have no right to apologize on behalf of all men. And I mean, as horrible as some men are, we can't do anything about them because they're not our men. We're not in charge of them. And there's this thing that happens then that these guys are actually just inveigling their way into those women's good graces.
Maybe that is me.
So that they can get some action eventually.
But that's not me either.
What? So you need to make your mind up because you're sending them mixed signals. And
white knighting.
This
cool.
is where
white knighting.
White knighting is rolling in here. I will save everyone. I am a friend of yours. I also hate sex and positive conversation.
Like,
and then you're actually trying to get laid.
Yeah. No, it's like I always find sex or like kissing someone or anything that's like intimate, like the last thing that I look for in a person that I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. So are we going to do this thing now?
With all the love in the world, it should be the first.
Nah.
I think I want to come and watch this show of yours with a team of psychologists. I'm gonna book out 10 seats.
Oh, please. That will help the ticket sales so much. Please can you book out the 10 seats now, though?
I'm going to get like 10 psychologists. Because here's the point. Like, if the first thing that gets you interested in someone isn't some kind of physical attraction.
No, I think, I think maybe I worded it wrong. I was just like, of course I'm physically attracted to a person immediately, right? Okay. But I'm saying that I don't look at a person and go like, oh, cool, I want to kiss that person.
Oh.
That's not like...
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm doing it wrong?
I'm just a massive horn dog
really?
And I've got to
convince
my rational mind has to convince my penis to disinvest.
Let me just tell you.
Oh, that's wrong.
To me, it's the second. The first is how much money you have.
Oh.
Then regardless, when I look at the 3-month bank statement, I'll make love.
Do you
to
also
a
bring your 3-month bank statement to dates?
Ah, you see me, see me, see me.
I thought it was just me, but now the F&B app.
No, Sia is very, he's openly superficial about
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sia is only interested in guys who have a ton of money.
Mm. Yeah, that's
and
good.
Then he's interested in their looks, and then he's interested in their personality.
I guess this could never happen then, Sia. Of course, that 3-month bank statement, I just opened up the bank account yesterday. So
I love that Sia is so honest.
Yeah,
because it's true. I mean, some people are looking for certain things, and it's like not politically okay to. No.
I'm looking just for kind people. Ooh. That is about it.
Okay, but
kindness doesn't pay for the villa in Cape Town.
Why is your life full of unkindness? I mean, kindness is abundant. Yeah. It's abundant.
No, it's not abundant. No, it's not. There's certain many people in this world that will look at, like, I know Gareth Cliff different than other people that know Gareth. I'll go like, oh, Gareth is a dope guy. I mean, we have different views, but he's never been harsh or awkward or shitty to me. But the other people go like, oh, Gareth Cliff is a shit person. Yeah. That moment, maybe they've perceived you to be unkind, you know? And that's probably their perception. But I'm looking for a person, according to my perception, that is a kind person. Yeah,
and just people who are not full of mountains of shit. Like, everything doesn't
Everything come down to shit with you, bro? Yeah, I listened to 30 minutes about you shitting earlier on.
Everything has to be like a drama, and people almost like define themselves by what drama is going on in their life.
But you see,
without things being difficult and complicated and
let me tell you something about your boy.
Fun.
Let me tell you something about your boy over here, right? As soon as there's any moment of drama, this guy taps out. And I tap it on the most.
But then you've
got to get through some. I mean,
no,
it's
just
never
like,
going to be plain sailing all day.
Then you're not kind.
I am kind.
No, I am kind. No, you can't say you're kind.
No, I'm compassionate and empathetic enough to tell you that, yo, this thing is not working out. I think we should tap out.
But that's not being...
That shows no patience.
No.
And not being willing to work
guys,
with
I'm
someone.
Not talking about not building a relationship. I'm talking about if someone keeps... Okay, let me put it in context, right? I'm 31, so in Muslim years, it's 389, right? So we know, simple maths. All the people in my circle that I could have married, right, are married... Or they're divorced with a kid, or they're like they're missing a ligament or something like that, right? Oh. Which means I must deal with a new circle of younger Muslim girls who are in their 20s, early 20s. And they come with 22-year-old problems. Like, how am I going to pay for my cell phone bill?
Spelling.
Yes.
Reading and writing and other 20-something problems.
You know, like, so if someone gets upset with me, like, oh, you didn't see me today. It's like, girl, I was working. I literally, that's what I work at night. It's like, oh, but how are we going to have dinner at night? We're not. How's that? We're not going to have dinner. That's not being unkind to say, like, you're being a bit emotional over this problem.
Yeah.
Maybe we should part ways if this is going to
hurt you.
That's
another thing that's just, like, the worst is when you're doing hard, shitty, pay the bills stuff, and then people who want
comedy.
You to rather do fun people who rather in general, when people want you to do fun social things like, oh, let's go out, get drunk, see a lot of our friends, go home together and bone all night, and you're like, oh, I can't, I'm making a fucking credentials document for a financial institution that I'm doing the whole weekend for 18 hours a day, and then they're like, oh, you're such a dick for not having fun with us. And you're just like, wow,
22-year-old problems.
Be pissed off with me because I'm too busy doing horrible shit to have fun with you. Like, I've chosen tax return
But now use it in the context of a stand-up comedian. So our weekends are generally based on gigs.
That is when the sun is shining.
So when someone has a 21st, like a 22-year-old's problem would be, it's like, yo, oh, you didn't come with me to the party. I can't come with you to the party. I'm working.
Yeah. And they'll be pissed off with you about
like,
it.
Do you know what you do Monday to Friday, 9 to 5? Also work.
I'd like to interrupt this marvelous discussion between two men who are not getting laid to remind everybody.
Oh, I do all right. Let's not go making any assumptions.
You have a game, bro.
About my sex life.
I didn't say... Absolutely, definitely.
No, I'll chat with you off air.
I insinuated.
I cuddled with a person. So,
listen,
beat that.
Tell me what this... Okay, so why bring up love at all then? Because it sounds to me like it's just very casual.
So, no. So, when I was at the peak of my sadness, I just started writing a lot of... I used to write poetry back in varsity, right?
Oh, no.
Yes, you best believe it.
I still write a lot of
poetry. Best believe it. You best believe it. And you know, they never... I could never perform it back then because, you know, I lived in the patriarchal society that was like, oh, you sing in the choir, you're gay. You know, like, oh, you write poetry, you're gay, bro.
Yeah, well...
You know? Basically, Butt Fighter, but for Wessel Boys High School.
Poetry is appalling.
No, it's not, bro.
I write.
No, it's not. I don't write.
I don't force it on other people.
Yeah, though. I don't write the tougher stuff. Like, you know, there's some guys that write. I've been to poetry nights in Joburg, right? And most of the stuff is
about poetry night.
There used to be. There's one on Tuesdays that used to run, right? But like all of those things are deep. My stuff is not deep. Mine is very surface level. I've only ever written like surface level poetry, like and. Put it like this, all my poems rhyme.
I also write a bit. They rhyme. Yeah. I can read you.
All of them rhyme, bro. Okay, I've got one of mine.
Let's go with Gord. Let's go. Gord, here's a Gord Laws original.
Okay. I need literally 1 second just to get it out like of music? My website.
I'm going to find mine as well, and then we can have a poet off.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, everybody.
I'm actually loving this.
You came today for the food. Stay for the poems.
Yo, bro, how long is it going to take for you to read yours?
Two more seconds. Okay. But you can wait. No, I'm here.
I've got lots.
I'm ready.
What is yours called?
Mine is called. You need to put my mic up just a little bit, you see?
Okay.
Mine is called John the Horny Panda.
Oh, I've read this one.
There once was a panda, and his name was John. His spots were all neat, and his fleece soft and long. A handsome dude, John, with a belly to flex, and totally desperate to have him some sex. But life can be hard in the land of bamboo if shagging a panda is what you want to do, because all of the babes in John's panda crew would rather chew through bamboo than to have a good screw. Time and again he'd approach a pandette and leave with head bowed in shame and regret. Relentless was our poor John's constant rejection, and great was the throb in his tortured erection. See, for pandas, bamboo is the best thing around, and in this panda forest it was thick on the ground. So why would a panda think any deeper than of munching bamboo and the pesky zookeeper? In fact, all the pandas had but only one fear, and no care for sushi or sex or for beer. The only one thing that could ruin their whole day was the fear of being caught and then taken away. For life was just perfect, the pandas would say, and they'd sit on their asses and scoff the whole day, and nothing our poor John could think of to say could get the girl pandas to see it his way. His testicles ached and his temper grew short, and he stopped being careful about not getting caught, consumed and fixated on one single thought, a sexy girl panda to romance and court. And so it was that John dropped his guard. He might have been spared if his wang wasn't hard, but one very fateful randy-ass day the zookeeper came and he took John away. When all of the pandas heard the bad news, they cried and they sobbed and they all had the blues. The ladies all wished that they'd seen more of John and thought maybe they'd like to have taken him on. As John woke up in the back of a cage, he wasn't aware that he'd been out for days, had been placed on a ship which had sailed far away to a high-budget zoo in the US of A. At first he was scared and he longed for some closure until he arrived at his brand new enclosure.
How long is this poem, bro?
It's almost done. He couldn't believe when he saw what he saw with his eyes, just endless bamboo and hot panda babe thighs. The audio system was playing a slow jam at the HQ venue of the panda breeding program. He grabbed some bamboo and began to rejoice. He was surrounded by panda babes, all of them moist. He wasn't in hell and he wasn't in jail. He was the zoo's brand new prize alpha male. So what, you may ask, does this story here mean? Never give up on living your dream.
Snap. Does panda in your poem stand for previously advantaged, now disadvantaged?
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what it stands for. No, it's about a literal panda.
Bro, your stuff is funny.
That wants to have sex.
That's beautiful, Gord. I'm actually impressed.
All right, lots of that shit.
Yo, you don't get laid with a six-pack like this if you haven't got some lyrics. Yeah.
All right, that's pretty good. Now let's
My one is like, my one's, so I've got a small chapbook out, which is like 10 poems, right? All right. And you guys can choose between one that I dedicated to, I met a girl at a cult.
Oh, nice. That's always good.
I want the story of
okay,
this.
Okay, I'll tell you the story, then I'll do the poem for you because I was going to give you an option. So I went to this thing called Landmark Forum. I don't know if you've heard about it, Gareth. It sounds like a thing that they would have approached you
again,
for.
Again, awful.
So there's a comedian. I'm in Cape Town, and she's like, oh, do you want to come with me to this gig? So, of course, as an artist, I'm just like, yeah, I'm definitely going to come with you to this gig. So I get there, and there's 400 people, and I know this comedian. She could never pull 400 people. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go to the bathroom quickly. Go to the bathroom. She comes back, places a name tag on my chest. And I get inside and I'm just like, yo, where's the backstage area? She's like, backstage? I was like, yeah, bro, there's 400 people here. I'm not going to sit in the crowd. She's like, no, we're not at a stand-up show. This guy jumps on stage from Australia and he's like, good evening, my name's Dave. Welcome to the Landmark Forum. Before we start today's thing, basically gives this whole speech about 850 Rand. It's going to change your life. Then I looked around.
Like a pyramid scheme.
Yep, pyramid scheme. I looked around and just see all these poor people that are like, you can see living on home.
Desperate, yeah.
So I go to the back, decide to pour myself some water, and as a handsome person, good, you may know.
Yeah, I get this all the time.
You have like the spidey sense, where you can sense when someone else is good looking. And so like this, I can feel my spidey senses tingle.
I'm just going to nod and pretend like I'm not.
And I can feel like this beautiful girl with this beautiful curly afro puts a glass of water down, and your boy decides to pour that glass of water.
Of course you do, right?
Yeah, but I pour it like a barista at Seattle.
You're a boss. You know, of course you do.
You know? And she says, "Namaste, Simeon." I'm like, "We all have to stay now, bro. This is a cult. We're not leaving." And I was like, "How do you know my name?" And I thought it was like, "We're stalkers,
lovers." She stuck it on your chest.
Stuck it on my chest, bro. So then I wrote this poem for her because you came to the show after that. And
you see, you're writing poems to get laid.
Nah, bro. That's
a different kind of poem.
Like all the allies. All right, so let's go.
Okay, what's my one called? Is called Curls.
Curls.
Yeah, it's not as funny as yours. Mine just got one punchline.
All right, let's go.
Okay. Curls, curls, curls on girls. My mind unfurls when I see curls on girls. Nothing more beautiful in this stervy world than curls draped and drenched on girls. It's crazy to think that man adores pearls when he can have his hand tangled, twisted, and wrangled in curls. Beautifully bent, whirly, and twirly. Your hair's my childhood crush. I like to call you Liz Hurley.
Yo, I remember this.
Yeah, no, my tongue becomes nervy, tied, topsy, and turvy. Sincerely, this poem is now overwordy. So, all praise to God, a high five hit firmly. Your hair's like a song on the radio. I'd like to send a shout out to your whirlies and curlies.
Shit.
That's a radio reference there for you, Gareth. Wow. Wait. But be cautious, beware. These girls can drown you in the depths of despair, confuse you betwixt you with cute little lies, say that they like you but leave with some other guy. Because that's what happened. She rejected me for another person.
Oh.
I know. So keep the receipts of your kindness and care, because curly-haired girls can hurt you, or even worse, straighten their hair. Thank you. That's
shit.
It, you know?
That's proper. Right.
Now, you see, I did that at Poetry Nights, and the next person that comes on just speaks about vaginas.
Also, for the audience, you looked at your phone for the first sort of quarter of that, and then you went to full like recital. You busted
that's,
it out.
That's a true poet.
While both of your poems are full of merit, they really are merit.
You hate both of them.
You've just introduced to me the idea of a whole new living hell on earth, Poetry Night.
I'm down. Gareth's not invited.
Yo, Gareth, we're on it. If you come to the show, bro, there's a 15-minute segment of me doing poems.
Gareth, you'd far rather attend Landmark Whatnot.
Landmark Forum. Landmark Forum, bro.
Remember, I brought you here so we can get yes. Okay.
Gareth, guys, Cliff, he's
good,
such a guy.
Good. Hold
his
on for a second.
His hair is blonde and his humor dry.
wait. I've got to promote my show now.
Oh, yeah. Big Gareth, plug
okay,
that shit.
So, Gareth. This Friday and Saturday, right?
Yes.
At the Auto and General Theatre on the Square.
Very good venue.
Lovely venue.
Yeah, we like
very
that.
Expensive.
But very nice.
Very nice, right? Yeah.
Not too many people.
Safe parking. That's
if
what everybody wants.
If there was a fire, you'd all get out safely.
Yeah. That's not true.
That's not true.
That's
for
very true.
You've got to promote the very best things about the venue.
Just ask Whitesnake.
Yeah. If there's
important.
A fire in Sandton at the theatre on the Square, you'll get out safely.
Yeah.
So I'm there Friday and Saturday. Tickets are available at CompuTicket. The show's called Love and Other Jokes. It's a really good show. I actually have a musician with me on stage as well, because the show is very improv based.
Oh, nice.
And so basically what the whole point is that I do a love story, and then afterwards I find someone in the audience to share their one, and I try story top it, but we take their love story, we put it into song. So it's a really incredible night of improv. The musician's name is Jaden Daniel, incredibly talented artist from Durban. Small kid, he has a couple of albums out himself, but his comic timing is amazing. So that's why he works.
How did you two find each other?
I went to school with his brother, and then I'd always followed him on Instagram because I support the arts. And one day I was like, yo, I really want to do a project with you. And he was available, and we did the show last year for the first time in July at a festival. And he was really, really good. So I decided every single time I do it, I fly him up. And so he's playing as well. All proceeds go to charity. So I know that you don't believe all men are trash, but it's only men at this moment in time. And so I'm donating all the costs to a very lovely organization. My friends work at it called Femme Projects. They do a lot of education for kids, especially with gender issues, sexual rights, and health rights. And so all the money goes to them. I'm not eating in September. So anybody that has food, biryani.
Pull in, Chan. I got you.
Oh, thank you, my Chan. Ah, my butt.
Absolutely, my boy. Pull
yeah.
In.
So, but it's a very good show, and I want everybody to attend it. I enjoy performing it, and my biggest regret is that tickets haven't moved quick enough, because I don't know what's going on in comedy at the moment where tickets aren't moving.
I don't really think it's comedy. I think like people just don't have a lot of money lying around.
Yeah,
that's
so,
this weekend now.
This Friday and Saturday.
The 27th, isn't it?
Yeah, 27th, 28th. I would have loved to have done like a one-rand show so I can get more people, more bums and seats and stuff, and just, oh man, it's just been a tough push. I won't lie. Practically the only time Gareth and I ever see each other is to promote a show.
How much are the tickets?
150 Rand, and
that's
you can buy them at CompuTicket.
That's not exorbitant or unreal. You'll pay 10 times that for a concert.
Listen, you cheap shit. They're going to buy this. By the way, people are spending more than that on... It's two drinks.
You know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I can understand not everybody has 300, 400, 500 Rand to go to a show, but like... And sadly, there are also obviously people who don't have 150 Rand, but
yeah.
That's not the point. The point is 150 Rand is not an exorbitant amount to pay for a professional person to stand and live entertain you.
Also, and I think it's my best show. My last show, I really, really enjoyed Lesson on Somebody. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had an excellent gag in there about my dad, a lovely 20-minute piece, and I think I've outperform that one gag with the show.
Well, that's what you want as a comic or a person who puts on performances is to...
Well, actually, I just want Gadflip to come to my shows, to be honest.
Feel like if you promise me there's no poetry, time. I might just do it.
I'll drop that 50-minute set, bro. I'll drop that 50-minute set hard.
I like this. You're being very creative with the musician. It sounds like you've put together something very different here. It's nice.
Yeah, I think it's one of my best shows. And I mean, my best show that I've ever written.
Yeah, if you can keep saying that about your art,
yeah.
That you yourself think it's your favorite stuff you've done, and that's exciting.
And just one more thing, Gareth, just to make this show a really successful thing, if you could just a young throwback for a fan who grew up listening to you, if you could just throw forward to news and sports just once for me, just as a radio jock used to do.
What? You mean please. Like the news and the sports coming up next?
Yeah, yeah, please.
I was never any good at that stuff. I still can't do it. It's please, like guys. Back announcing a song. I fuck it up badly.
Okay, just do welcome back.
Welcome back to the show. Coming up next, the news and the sport with Simi RF.
That's all I ever wanted.
Simi, are you okay now?
Yeah, bro, it's just like, okay.
I just got to point out, that's probably one of the reasons you were struggling to get laid.
Well, that's because also my radio voice was shit. That was Justin Bieber. What do you mean? Justin?
You sound like most radio DJs.
Yeah, I know, bro. You know how many demos I sent to radio stations with that voice as a gag?
You know how many
ladies and gentlemen, Simi Aref, catch his one-man show this weekend, 27th, 28th of September. And with that, on behalf of the Gareth Cliff Show, I'm Gord Laws. With me, as always, Gareth Cliff, Sia Sangweni, and our special guest for today, Simi Aref. You've been fantastic. Have a bloody great day. I don't know why I gradually became Australian.
I can't end it better than that.
CliffCentral.com